verse 1. Where does Nehemiah, the son of Zechariah, is given passion in the month of Tislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace. That in Ali, one of my brethren came, he and certain men through that. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem, two subjects of fire, you will notice there, there is a people, and there is a state. They said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the columns are in great affliction and the world. The wall of Jerusalem is there, the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. In the past, when I heard these words, that I said, I'm afraid. More, in certain days in the past, I prayed before the God of heaven and said, I will speak to thee. That the first of three expressions, I will speak to thee, in that prayer of Nehemiah. Now look over, please, to chapter 2. Verse 10. Then Shambala the Hanamite, and Zubayah the servant, the Ammonite heard it, and grieved and exceeded it. For it was a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Now, look, please, now, a little bit further over in the book, and we turn over to chapter 12. Perhaps we would stop for a moment at chapter 10. And I want to draw your attention just to the last expression in the chapter. It's the signing of the covenant in chapter 10. And now at the very close of the chapter, there is a vow. And we will not forsake the house of our God. Now, chapter 12, verse 43. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced. For God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced. So that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. Now the chapter 13. Verse 6. For in all this time was not my Jerusalem. For in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, came I unto the king, and after certain days obtained I leave of the king. I came to Jerusalem, and understood the evil that I should bid for Tobiah, and prepared him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. And it grieved me sore. Therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. Then I commanded that they cleansed the timber. Thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God with the meat offering and the frankincense. I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them, for the Levites and the singers that did the work were fed every one of his people. Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? I gathered them together and set them in their place. Then brought all Judah, the tithe, the corn, with the new wine, and oil into the treasury. Verse number 15. In those days saw I in Jerusalem some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, bringing in sheaves and bathing asses, as also the wine, grapes and figs, and all manner of burdens which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. I testified against them on the day wherein they sold little. There brought man fire also the wind which brought fish, and all manner of ware, and sold it on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and to Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah, and said unto them, what evil thing is this that ye do, and profane the Sabbath day? Did not your father of that, and did not our God bring all this evil upon us? Upon this city. Yet you bring more up from Israel by profaning the Sabbath day. Verse number 23. Those dead also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, the Ammonite of war. And their children stayed far from the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak, and the Jews language, but according to the language of such people, of each people. And I contended with them and crushed them. She won't serve them, and plucked off their hair, and made them swear by God, saying, ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons, or for yourselves. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king of kings. He was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did our blandish woman cause to sin. Shall we then hearken unto you to do all this great evil, to confess against our God, and marry him strange wife? One of the sons of Jeremiah, the son of Elisha, the high priest, was son-in-law to Sanballat the foreigner. Therefore I chased him from him. And the last expression of the book, verse 31. Remember me, O my God. Oh, good. God will bless the reading of his word. When the delegation came from Jerusalem up to the center of the empire, it is recorded on the night of their arrival, a young man was seen to walk in the colonnades of Shushan the palace, and he was heard or overheard to cry, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her coming. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the root of my mouth. You recognize I'm quoting from Psalm 137. That psalm, historically, is linked with Nehemiah. And you can see the exercise of a man who has just heard certain news. You might say, what is God? He's inquired all things. You say, what's the spiritual interest? That was Jerusalem. That was the place where God had put his name. The only place on earth distinguished by that sacred thing. Jehovah's name was there in Jerusalem. That was the thing. And he just inquired how Jerusalem was. But then not only was there spiritual interest, but there was spiritual intelligence. Because he inquired not only concerning the place, but concerning the people. And he heard certain news. That news taught and told of the affliction of the people. And the cause of that affliction was identified as well. That the place, Luke, the delegation would say, at the wall of Jerusalem, they're broken down, and the gates are burned with fire, and no one cares. Nobody's burden, nobody's trouble, and the young man under Babylonian conditions is concerned. But you say, what exactly was the burden and what was the concern of the Nehemiah? It was that simple. Almost 90 years before, God had done a mighty work. In getting out of Babylonian condition a people and bringing them back into association with a place. You remember that history? So that about 536 BC, I led back a company from Babylon. That company had commenced to wear a testimony. In expectation of the coming of the Messiah, of the coming of the Savior. temple has not only been founded, but the temple has been finished 20 years later in the year 516 BC. You say things will go well now. And that has been furthered by a further return under Ezra in the year 458 BC. You see, the year is slipping on. It was first then by Ezra, and now in the year 446, Jews reaches the capital of empire. Things are not going well. The people and the place are in sworn death. Tell me a man. You've got a spiritual anger. You've got a spiritual intelligence. Well, tell me, dear man, what are you going to do about it? Have you got any spiritual initiative? Is there something you can do? What does he want to do? Very simple. He begins to win. He begins to win. You can see the alarm. The burden on his heart did I forget the old tradition? If I cannot remember me, his hand and his tongue, is that what he used as cupbearer to the mighty king? Do you know what Nehemiah calls him in his prayer? This man. This man. The mighty king of the earth. And Nehemiah calls him this man. His prayer. Who does, brother, sister, as you say? See him out of the hear him cry, I beseech thee. Lord, the Lord of heaven. What is burden? It's not there. He does it of sin. He doesn't say they have sinned. He says we have sinned. He identifies himself with the people. That's the verse 19. There's the second note that begins in verse 11 with the cry again, I beseech thee. It's going to go deeper still now. Well, this kind of conviction is centered on the problem. Goes back to the screen. And he says, we recognize that the government of God has been a dealing with this problem. Now we are holding God to this, that he will bless his people in keeping with the same problem when they turn and repent. That's really great. That prayer of this one is the presence of God with confession. That causes to arise in a heart condition. And now the one is helping. The third distinct thing, such is that moment of consecration, when he says, let now the prayer of thy servant and the prayer of thy servant who desire to fear thy name. Prosper, I pray with thy servant. He's consecrated. Let me pause for a moment, fellowship. Am I speaking to someone who has spiritual interest? In a place? A place where God has said his name? You know, in the Old Testament, it was geographical and biblical. But you know, in the New Testament, there is that which answers to the geographical and the biblical. In Scripture. We spoke of it last night. It is that of which the Lord Jesus spoke dispensationally in Matthew chapter 18. Where two or three are gathered together unto my name, there am I in the midst of them. And the New Testament makes no apology. It leaves the ship without excuse. There's only one text, the New Testament, rather than actually studying the history of God. Because to gather on any other ground is to deny the authority of the one who spoke. Deny the inspection inherent in his name alone, and thus to deny the activity that brings sin to God.
Is he not a virgin?
Just what brought him back to Jerusalem? One, the Scripture. I could have seen every heart in that. Read the Scripture with unbiased mind. And the open heart would be for a sin to come to a detection of the sin. What is your say? The Spirit of God. And don't you think that the Spirit of God that saves you is able to guide you? Don't you think that the Spirit of God that inspired the Scripture is the same Spirit that you guide the faith through the Scripture? What will happen? Just as those Old Testament saints left Babylonian salvation and went back under the Spirit and under the Scripture, so saints in this dispensation will gather on the authority of Scripture by the activity of the Spirit. They gather on spiritual ground. You know that spiritual intelligence? Have you looked at the thing objectively and with spiritual intelligence examined the condition of the assembly that you're in? That's the second point. Can you see Nehemiah in his mind completely? The city is look at the walls, they're broken down, there's no separation. Look at the gate. They're burnt with fire, there's no communion. The danger of action. Wouldn't it be better than Nehemiah to forget it? Do you think God has not a place for you to fill in the great administration of the Medio Persian Empire? You know, Nehemiah could have stayed in Medio Persian. His name might have been envisioned on the prime ministerial role of Medio Persia. His name would long since have been forgotten. On the night, we are called him. And his name's on a record that will never end. Because he showed not only spiritual interest, but spiritual intelligence. And he did more. He took a spiritual initiative. And he could done. What about you, brothers? Did you take a look at the assembly tonight? Can you see that within it which burdens your heart? What do you do? Forget about it? Or take off the devil and repent? Or spread it far and wide? I spoke on Saturday night about a man who dealt with a situation in his life and he took it into the presence of God. I submit to your heart. That's what's missing today. Comes the assembly. A time of waiting. But that was followed by a time of waiting. Between chapter 1 and chapter 2, there's 4 months. What am I doing? He's waiting. He's waiting to see what part he can play. What part God will open to him. He waited. That's a good answer to that. The way. Now we don't have time tonight to go into the details of how God opened the pathway, made provision for him, so that at the close of the chapter he can back him into the struggle. With the people of God, at what was his heart? The welfare. Even the enemy recognized him. He commands and makes inquiry. The welfare of the people of God at heart. He has been weeping. He's been waiting. Now what do you see him do? You see him take up the task that what God has put into his heart to do. He's telling nobody about it. through the gates of judgment, it will be examined. It will be scrutinized.
The testing of the being of Christ.
The heart. The being like this. Weeping. Waiting. Working.
You think Satan will let him alone?
Chapter 2 and 3 deal with the waiting and the working. But chapter 4 and 6 will deal with another subject.
What's that? The warning.
The warning.
Because there's an enemy that doesn't like that way.
There's an enemy that doesn't like those people. There's an enemy that will seek to destroy the purpose of an exercise after the end of Eli. Marshalling all his forces, 4, 5, and 6 chapters, prepared on the attack upon the testimony of God. Chapter 4, what is it?
Chapter 4 is the external attack.
It's that external attack that comes from without. It's an attempt to destroy the work. You know what they did?
First thing they did was they poked fun at it.
You might not worry about that. If a fox comes against it at another time, that's not much good being in Nehemiah. That's not much good being in Nehemiah. Are you starting up top, putting all your energy into that place? The whole thing will collapse. They fall back. Then when they couldn't make any progress of that nature, they began to try to put fear into them. They tried to threaten them. And they tried to stir up the discontent on the inside. This was internal. In fact, they tried to put fear into them. And you know that chapter ends with them all marching together. They're parading the whole forces of the enemy rather than anything. What did Nehemiah say? He said, yes, pay no attention. Take the shovel in one hand, take the sword in the other, and cut the ear of the trumpet. But when you hear the trumpet sound, rush to the spot to repair the enemy. But in the meantime, get on with the work. It's too big a work. There's work to be done. Never mind the enemy. External.
When you come to chapter 9, my sympathy is that.
If he can't destroy the work from above, he's only trying to do that. He's trying to disrupt that work from within. Because he always finds greater hearts with it. And he always finds an ear that's ready to listen to every calumny. And to all that he can parade against the people of God, and he tries to disrupt the work from within, sets one section against another. Isn't that the old enemy thing? What does Yahweh say? He goes a step right. This is not only external or internal. This is really infernal. He's not only out to destroy the work from above and disrupt the work from within, he's out to disgrace it from above. The attacks on him. You look at that chapter of your letter. I haven't time for that. Look at the chapter and see how they try to decry him. Bring him down. See how they try to decoy him. Trap him into an inconsistent picture. See how they try to deceive him, even using prophetesses to destroy him. But Nehemiah is occupied with it. I'm going to great work. I'm putting all my energy into it. I'm pouring all my life blood into that which God has given me to fulfill, and I'm going to get out of it. And that very exercise. He's reserved. And the work comes first. The wall was up, and the gates were set. My, and you turn the pages from chapter 7 to chapter 10. There's not only
reconstruction, but there's reinstruction. Then chapter 11, 12, there's rededication. My eyes think that must have been a tremendous fall. But all the work is done. And the gift for us. The people gather, and the word is read. The joy of Jerusalem is there. Apart. Fruit trees under joy in that sacred place. Amongst that separated people, a traitor, the exile, one soul, one sin, one servant. Many miles away, God brought him to the very spot. I want to make this give you a hand. This is the older man. You find the place of the Lord's name to be satisfied with the intent. For he couldn't think. Are you satisfied with the view of God? Are you satisfied with the part that you play? Did it begin with women? Did it come in with women? Did it come in with wives? Working? Leaders who come with conviction and consecration pour into that work and make that. I don't know condition or circumstance, they don't say. But I speak tonight, the one that I've been associated with for many years. Now we can receive it. The definite, decisive pathway, men who know where they're going, and why they're doing it, doing it with all their enemies, doing it with all the extra sides of the earth, and with the God over the way, put them in that position, by the power of the Spirit of God, people tell it. For if there are those who are not fulfilled, the fact they ought to be fulfilled. Let me bring it down to the other. You had an exercise, brother, you said? You have? You'll not be coming to earth today? You'll be satisfied that that's the only day in which you can put the exercise of your heart. They're not sure you of God. You can find that unit in that little place. And the same pathway as Nehemiah. He did it. On the building. And he accomplished it. Blessing. Words that were said to me many years ago often echo in my heart. Words like the Master, where shall I work today? My love, those warm things. He pointed me out a tiny spot and said, tend that for me. Although I said, oh no, not that, why no one could ever see how well my task was done. How that little hot stop for me. Words of the Master, they were much shared. He looked at me tenderly, the disciple. Search that heart of thine. Are you working for them or me? Nazareth was only a tenant's father. And so was Galilee. Are you doing something? Insubmission. Insubmission to a word of Christ. In the face of the baby, amongst the people of God gathered on scriptural ground, pour into it, brother. Pour into it your very life, God. Though the very interests of heaven shall. not unusual in the past.
God died. That's another company does.
They were of no account. They were of counsel. They probably didn't even know they did. God died. Not interested. That's why Nehemiah passed. Let's pass from deconstruction and re-instruction and rededication to the last chapter. And with good honor, re-examining, because Nehemiah passed. 12 years of that, that one of the friends tied in. Comes again to Jerusalem. Neither did I. And you know, it's question, it's startling, it's sobering, and it's dark. Who's this man? Why is the house of God forsaken? Last time I was here, did not I hear thee Levite serving? Did not I hear the singer singing? Did not I hear the porter carrying? Did not I hear the priest worshiping? What's gone wrong? He asked the right people. Those who responded to him. He asked the Lord. He spoke to the Lord. These are the people who ought to be able to birth the earth. But Nehemiah did what? He had a look. You know, I've often looked at these words. I understood. I perceived. I saw. You could see the discernment of the land. He's looking now at the same way, at the same people, into which he has poured his energy, exercise, and ability. And I want you to know. At this time, certainly, why the house of God was it? You understand? You didn't tell me what. I look at the worship. And what does he find in the worship? Why? There is no worship going on. No worship. Had a great friendship with Tobiah the Ammonite. You go so far in rejection, but he always sees a loophole for his friend to come in as a lie. He's not very clear on the separation of God's people. Not very clear on the distinctive difference between an assembly, which is a New Testament term, and some of our religious gods. He's prepared to talk about Shalom in him. But he has to be that enough. Because there's something else that should have made me even suspicious about Sebastian. When you have time, read the list of the men that signed the carbon that gathered them. You will find a place there. Just go down all the list and you will not find a lash of name there. He's not prepared to stand up and take responsibility. That is one time in Malaysia with one of our problems. We were faced with a particular threat. And certain men who were obviously equipped by God would not take responsibility. Wouldn't stand up and put their names to it. Say we're standing for God. You know, we can't force them. It's the Holy Spirit. That's not the word. Well, there's something about the lash of the Lord. May God these things. I'm going to put a label on it, brother. I'm going to call it liberalism. Liberalism. And what's the effect of liberalism? It's simply to displace the worship that God should get from you. That's the effect of the word of to displace the worship. That is to be created by that which came from the human intelligence. You know, the assembly is the place where there ought to be worship in the person that goes 12 months, your spiritual worship. Where there ought to be worship in praise, that's Hebrews 13:15, with such sacrifice, God is that worship. That worship ought to be reflected not only in person, and in praises, but in possession, in giving, that's Philippians 4:17. Those are the sweet smells, sacrifice acceptable unto God. There, on the center, on his earth, in the assembly, there is that which displaces tribalism, that which displaces human control, that which displaces all human constraint, person, vision, and possession, that people offering or giving unto God of the person and of the praises and of the possessions that rise and worship of God. I'm not thinking just of one meeting. I'm thinking of the assembly of that place where principles are only that enable true life. Because we find this in it. Nor any human intelligence is coming in to display the freedom of personal worship in substituting a pastor or a cleric. Bringing in ideas of human control to so the Spirit of God is pushed out. Instead of the free will offerings of God's people, the covenantal system is reduced that will oblige the heart to respond. These are just the introduction of human intelligence into things that ought to be in the covenant of God by His Spirit and by His Scripture. And it says, worshiping. I can see a picture of the Allah. What is it? I love that picture. I see him standing on the steps. And he starts asking. All the little stones in that. He makes it right back all together. And what comes in its place? He said there in chapter 13, there the vessels that I brought again, the vessels of the house of God with the meat offering and the magazine. You Catholic, the best one. You're supposed to offer the presentation going up. Here is the perfume of the frankincense, right in the ball. Everything pure and intelligent is dealt with. There's a faith for the worship of God. There's Nehemiah in this exercise in connection with the religion. But look again at the second one. It's not worship this time. He goes a little bit further and he says, so I, or rather verse 10, I will see. What did he foresee? That the portion of the Levites had not been given them. This is not worship, this is murder. This is why is not everybody missing? Why is not the Levites cutting up the court? Why is not the elders being brought? Why is everything stopped? You should have stopped it. They didn't give the Levites their portion. And every Levite had to go back to his feet. He wasn't being supported. He wasn't able to die. He wasn't getting that from the thing. I received it. Can you expect those Levites to work in the time they're not being given? Their portions not being provided? The whole work of God stopped. It's not a given. Liberalism, it doesn't work. That is the word. This is a point that's been upon my heart for some time. Now I'm not. Do I get my Lord? May I give to my Lord? There be an exercise of heart for the giving to saints and servants, the servants of God. I submit to them the exercise. Especially the younger belief. One of the big things in Christmas giving is the set apart of portion. For God. Now I'm not thinking just of the portion that you could give the lot. And the Lord said more. That's your moral obligation. Your moral obligation. As a responsible member of a fellowship with expenses to be paid. That's only the beginning. That doesn't touch the people offering that come from a heart that's touched and needed. Or we went to families. Let me be poor one day. The matter of war was went like this. Two men stole from an assembly lot. One got jailed and the other got a new car. One took money out. One didn't put money in. I can't see the sorrow. I'm rather gamble at the weekend, spoke a little on this line, but I can speak for ours. And I can speak of many places not entered. Testimonies not established. Souls not lost. How could it strip the hearts of humanity and the fears that put self first? Refuses to give that portion to his God. Refuses to give that which God, to one which God has claimed. The scriptures speak systematically, proportional, willing to give. And then he exercised me. You know what the Elias did? He went out. He gathered it together. And he put it in a place. That was an extra thing. And then he found that the sins were gone. Then brought all Judah the time of the corn and the new wine and the oil into the treasure. By the first spot. And the word of God begins now. Here's worship in the sanctuary. Here's birth now. In connection with the servant of God. The supplies are there. And the work in the Lord. You've been exercising since the new year. Our mission team. Our mission. Our mission team. didn't trouble start with his temple? You put aside that whole picture of you, and with the Lord to you. Oh, yes, sir. Why the master gone for Satan? Some are not willing to face that. It is for you. You might have another verse of people. And these days saw I in Judah, some treading wine presses on the sun. What's it? You the sign of them? There was. You the servant? You the Sabbath? Check the verse. What was the Sabbath? It was the sign that God gives you that the things are ours. But now, often, with the testimony and faith to the people of God's Savior, the whole faith to the gates and grace, you would have thought things would go well. You couldn't believe that. All that training of the Sabbath day, you just had the vision. Well, that's the point they said. It would cost us money not to train on the Sabbath day. Why is it ridiculous to think of shutting the gates on the Sabbath day? Look at the business you could do. You know, Nehemiah, you know how they look at me. But when those strange men jumped outside the gate, you know, I could see Nehemiah going out. They had a shame threatening him. And he told them, you come back again and I'll set up with you. You just stay off. You have no place here. This Sabbath is not to be proclaimed merely as secular. God does not come now. There is that which separates the day. Now I'll take that over into the New Testament. Now we're not adherents of Seventh-day Adventism or anything of that notion. Because the New Testament says in Hebrews chapter 4 that there remains there a Sabbath in it. That's the reference into which we have been brought that time, which he established by his death on the Calvary cross. That means that in our walk, there's a difference. A difference between us and the unsaved. Desire, the direction of life, in the very important that we show.
There's a very dangerous piece
that says we ought to be like those that we're trying to reach.
I saw it in Vancouver, at work. Certain young people from the assembly said, to reach those certain type of people, he is going to sit amongst them and wear the same clothes as they have. Do the same things as they do. They tried it, and the thing was a disaster. They brought the saints down as many young believers never to come. It was nothing for the work.
God's teaching day is put a difference. A difference in desire. Your desire to make fellow sin, send it around the TV. You have that more desire. But that's a symptom. It's not a cause, it's a symptom. It's a symptom of something deep within desire. Direction of life. What's the direction of life? Where is it? What aims to the appointment that we show? Is there a symptom that marks you? Or no, you please all down to the secular method that you all couldn't make a difference. Casual and talk, casual and walk, casual and dress. That is, so I'm afraid of you. But it's simply written to the people of God. God will learn that. The secular. What about the wall? What about the gate? The gate for our community. Anything that happened in this past week. What community do we have? As it comes in through the gate, into the heart, into the whole, into the gate. That's the original one. In connection with the reverence. The last one. Not in the pressure, that's the chapter. Not in their work, that's the chapter. Not in their walk, that's the chapter. But the last note, to do the work,
of the Philistines, and of Ammon, and of war, and they were producing a continent that spake half in the language of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Jewish language. And of course they were justified. No need for going back to Scripture. They were saying, what song is that? To be so wicked, we just didn't want to. There were just no carried for legalism. That's what it was too far. Here it is. Jeremiah took upon him, even the mighty strong, that in this matter of sin, he was destroyed. The very shepherd of God, the free his soul. It speaks volumes to my heart, fellow sin. We have been gathered to the Lord in heaven, gathered amongst his people, to worship that should be rising, to walk the work that should be going on, to walk that should be evident, and the witness we should have. In the New Testament puts it very plainly, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Whether it is in the social, or in the commercial, or in the religion, or in the matrimonial, or in the political. Probably we won't have much trouble with the political and stuff. We have a lot of trouble with it tonight. We have to teach the people of God that our politics are not ours. We lift up the political part on either side of our divide. Is to be associated with that which for an evil name. We ought to be clean in our witness and their answer to prayer. And you see, Nehemiah dealing with that gentleman who came, the son of Nehemiah, the son of Elisha, the high priest, was son in law to Zambal the Horonite, therefore I chase him. You see the sense that he went off to build the temple of the Samaritan on Mount Gerizim. Interesting. You would like to have had that body along. You wouldn't. Nehemiah might have said. But he said, I'm chasing him. What's the lesson that was in verse? Are you an exercise? For the prayer? For the people? For the prayer. Then, if you have, you can put into that the very light of that. And know that it's something that God can stamp with his approval. That the worship is on task. By the religion. That the work is on task by the materialism. That the walk is on task by secularism. The witness is mine. Christ separated. Not by others. They go forward in our exercise.